Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. I'm going to read from the 17th chapter, verses 11 through 19. Listen for God's word. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached Jesus. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found in to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A marvelous story is told of a monastery where all of the brothers took a very disciplined vow of total silence. They were not ever to speak a word on their journey of obedience. There was, however, one exception. Every 5 years, that one occasion, they were allowed to speak just 2 words. And then 5 years later, they could speak another 2 words. They would speak them to the abbot who headed the order. A new monk arrived at the monastery one day to begin his service. And after 5 years, he went into the abbot's office to speak his 2 words. The words were, "Food bad." He then got up from his chair and left the office. 5 years later, he returned to speak his 2 words again. This time, his words were, "Bed hard." Got up, left the abbot's office. After another 5-year period, he returned for the third time. And now his 2 words were, "Want out." "Well, I'm not surprised," said the abbot. "All you've done since you've been here is complain." Yes, the monk had little gratitude. I'm not so sure. Our gospel lesson this morning talks about gratitude. It begins with 10 lepers. 10 outcasts forced to live at the outskirts of humanity. The diagnosis of leprosy was often a sentence to die. It was always a sentence to exile. Clothing affected by leprosy was burned. Houses afflicted with leprosy were turned down. People beset by leprosy were avoided, as the saying goes, like the plague. 10 lepers in our story begged Jesus for mercy, and Jesus, skipping the pastoral care, responds to them with this command, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." All 10 respond by going as they've been told, and while they obey this command, they are all healed. Along the road of obedience, all 10 are made well. All 10 find themselves, so to speak, wearing new skin. Naturally, says the commentator Paul Duke, they are ecstatic and do what any of us would do if we had such good news. They hit accelerate. Jesus told them to go, and in the going, they were healed. And what are new feet for if not to sprint to the finish of what they are commanded to do? To the priest, then, and step on it. But one of them, just one, stops. Overcome by his new possibilities, overwhelmed by this unexpected gift, in such a state, he discovers something more important than following the instructions that have been given. He follows his heart instead of his instructions. He needs to express his gratitude. He needs to offer his praise. And so he wheels around and runs back to Jesus, praising God with a loud voice, says the scripture, then falls at the feet of Jesus, offering that thanks and praise. Now, that this man was a Samaritan, not a Jew, is surely a point Luke wants to make. For throughout Luke's gospel, it is the outcasts, like the hated Samaritans, who recognize Jesus for who he truly is. You see, this outcast had two strikes against him. He was a leper, and he was a Samaritan. Yet he is the one who responds freely to the grace he has experienced. He is the one who, in a way, sings his gratitude, sings his praise, giving thanks to God for God's grace. Yes, that is what the leper did. Let me suggest you think of it like this. Jesus gave all 10 lepers a script to follow. With that script, he gave them words to say to the priest, and all 10 went on their way rehearsing that speech. But one heard something else in those words. He perceived the goodness of God's grace that was given to him. The script that he was given took on a deeper meaning for him. And back at Jesus' feet, in effect, he sang the music of gratitude, praising God, our text says, with a loud voice, like our choir does all the Sundays of the school year. Now, friends, I don't know about you, but I've known friends or acquaintances who have gotten caught up in just this kind of praise. I know a man who survived a horrific automobile accident, who found his life and his relationships altered with the profound sense of gratitude that led him to a new approach to life. I watched a woman from India speaking powerfully in a language that was unknown to me and others around me as she gave her American visitors a gift of freshly picked flowers. A woman who was in the midst of poverty, but still wanted to give with joy. I know a couple in Louisiana whose oldest son was born with a severe mental handicap that required demanding regimens of care. But that couple and their four younger sons treated that young man with the handicap as such a profound gift of God's grace, saying things like, every day is a blessing. And that is one of the finest and strongest families I have ever met in my life. And friends, when I'm at my best, and you know by now I'm not always, I am filled inwardly with a melody of praise. When I'm at my best, even simple daily occurrences can stir such feelings. The laughter of a young child, the picture of a new baby, a grandchild. John, I'm surprised the picture still isn't up there. I congratulate you for your restraint. I wouldn't have done that. A sunset of yellow and orange as I walk the forest preserve behind my home. A disagreement settled and resolved. When I'm at my best, I can feel praise and gratitude for such moments. At other times, though, I find my senses dulled by the routines or my thoughts consumed by those things that cause anxiety, by pettiness, by envy, by expectation and demand. In those days, I do well simply to follow the script if I can. The minister Michael Linvall, who's influenced parts of this sermon, calls the script the commands of God for honesty, for treating others with respect, for demonstrating kindness to neighbor. Sometimes just following the script seems like burden and demand, and in those days the melody of gratitude sometimes seems almost impossible, at least without some help. And so that's one reason we encourage you to worship, to lean on each other, to see you through those days when you don't hear that melody as clearly as we might. That's why we want to single out a day, and we could single out and probably should single out so many more, to thank all those of you who make this worship the wonderful praise and time of gratitude it is. In music, in liturgy, in prayers, with smiles of greeting and bulletins handed out, I can't list all the ways because time would not permit. There's an old story told by a minister I know, Bob Dunham. It's about a renowned pianist and composer, a grand one who lived at the beginning of the last century. And a wonderful thing that happened at the start of one of his concerts. At this particular concert, a woman and her young son came to hear the master play. The young boy had only recently begun piano lessons, and the mother, wanting to encourage his studies, took him to hear the great pianist. The two were seated just prior to the concert, but the mother spotted a dear friend along the aisle a few rows back and went to speak to her, telling the young boy to wait in his seat. Now, what young child wants to sit still? And so, seizing the moment of opportunity to explore a bit, the boy made his way down the aisle through an open curtain in a doorway, and he disappeared. The house lights dimmed, and the mother returned to her seat and discovered to her horror that her son was not there. She began frantically to search and look around and didn't pay attention to the curtains opening on stage. But at the laughter of the audience, she looked up, and there, seated at the magnificent Steinway on the stage, was her son, haltingly playing the first song he had ever learned to play, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. You can imagine the mother's horror. She started to get up, started to go get her son, but at that very moment, the great pianist himself entered from the other side of the stage. He put his finger to his mouth to still the audience, and he moved to the piano, and he whispered something in the boy's ear. The boy kept playing. And then the master reached down with his left hand and began filling in a bass part to the composition. Soon his right arm reached to the other side of the child, and he added still more notes. Together, the old master and this young novice transformed an awkward moment into a time of utter grace. And as they finished playing, the audience broke forth in thunderous applause. Think of this as sort of a parable, my friends. The truth is that the melody of gratitude is not always easy. I know that, you know that. We sometimes play it haltingly, like we've hardly known it. We're sometimes undone by our own pettiness, our insecurities. We may at times feel more like humming dirges of lamentation to ourselves. But by grace, when we're open enough to it, but by grace, sometimes we hear whispers of remarkable encouragement. Whispers that keep us playing. And as we do in grace, God builds upon our own best efforts, transforms us in ways we had never dreamed possible. That's God's grace. It's what it does. And when it touches us, maybe then we see something that others, like the other nine, miss. We see that life is a gift, that this day is a gift, and that our life's simple melody is never sung a cappella. It is never played alone. It is always accompanied. Richly. Fully. And those who are able to see in such a way cannot simply keep moving down the path they've been traveling, because what stirs in them, seeing what they see, seeing at times what we see, hearing what we hear, is a song of gratitude, a song of praise. What stirs in us is pure music. And so you sing. And so we live. Let the music of gratitude begin in us, O God. Let it begin. Even now. Amen.